Okay, we're going to have an ongoing discussion of Sri Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, not just Tattva Sandarbha, all the Sandarbhas. Two things that will probably disappoint you. One of them is that
I decided not to follow any schedule. You know, not to try to exactly finish it in 2 years or in 3 years. I'll just proceed and see, just let it go at whatever pace it goes. That way we can spend as much time as we want on each point. Second point of disappointment is that we don't have any text to hand out. The manuscript is unpublished and I can't circulate it. Okay, so we'll just have to live without it. I wanted to first discuss, in general, what's the purpose of the Sandarbhas. The Goswamis of Vrindavan were appointed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the task of presenting Krishna consciousness to the modern world in books. And Rupa Sanatan and Raghunath Das, particularly, already had written a number of important books serving this purpose. Because the style of our sampradaya is peculiar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur identifies it by the distinguishing terms vicharatmaka and rasatmaka. Therefore, the kinds of books that are mostly produced by our acharyas are of a peculiar kind. Vicharatmaka bhakti is what is practiced by the acharyas in most of the other sampradayas, except for those sampradayas that make a big thing about being rasika, usually in imitation of our sampradaya. The more traditional sampradayas are following the style called, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls vicharatmika. That vichara is philosophical discussion. So they approach the presentation of Krishna consciousness philosophically, especially by study and commentary of the Vedanta Sutra. So we see in other sampradayas, even though Bhavatam is theoretically recognized, more attention and time is given to the Vedanta. That's vicharatmaka bhakti, particularly philosophical. Rasatmaka bhakti is focusing on the nectar, on the pleasure pastimes of Krishna, and the living entity's perfection of being a connoisseur of those pastimes and even a participant. That's the perfection of life. Not to merge into something or other, or to attain some other form of mukti. To us, this is the real mukti. And to the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following his instructions, the primary source of knowledge that will help you achieve... I'm sorry, there's two paintings on the floor. Can we lift them up and put them on something? On the corner there, don't we have two paintings touching the floor? The primary source of the knowledge that will help you realize rasatmika bhakti is Srimad Bhagavatam, according to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we've got this configuration that our sampradaya is mostly into the nectar rather than into the philosophical discussion. Now this means that you're dealing with a different audience. The people who you speak philosophy to convince them, are people who are not yet convinced. In other words, in our terminology, anishtita bhaktas, devotees who are devotees, but they haven't achieved yet firm conviction, nishta. Therefore, they need to be convinced philosophically, and they need to be informed with all the philosophical points that will firm their devotion and their conviction. Whereas the Rasa literatures are written for a more advanced audience of devotees who at least have achieved Nishta. If you haven't achieved Nishta, then hearing the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna is going to disturb your mind, and you may turn into a sahaja. So therefore, that's not recommended. Even now, what we have in our the history of our sampradaya is a lot of Rasika literature. Rupan Sanatan Goswami wrote a lot of books that really aren't for a general audience. They're for advanced devotees. And they present directly the intimate pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. We have some books by the same authors, Rupa, Sanatan, that are for a more general audience. We can point out particularly the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Although it does, Brihad Bhagavatamrita does reveal all the intimate dealings of Krishna and his devotees. It starts off on a level that any Vaishnava can accept, can appreciate and follow and not be disturbed. So this is a book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that's for a general audience of Vaishnavas. This is another book of the same kind, the Tattvasandarbha of Jiva Goswami. He came later, so many books, important books, had already been written. There was no need for him to repeat what Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das, Sanatana Goswami have already done. If he's going to write such a big book, it should serve a different purpose that hasn't yet been served. Of course, what he's writing about is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the Bhagavat Sandarbha. It's a commentary on the Bhagavatam. But there already are so many commentaries on the Bhagavatam, even in our line. We have Sridhar Swami's commentary. We have Sanatana Goswami's commentary. We have Srinath Chakravarti's Chaitanya Mata Manjusha. Bhagavatam has already been presented. This book serves a special purpose. Like the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's presented in such a way that it can serve the needs of a very broad general audience of devotees, including those who have not yet achieved Nishta, who are not yet fixed in their devotion, and therefore are not yet ready to hear the intimate pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, nor do they have much interest in hearing. But the aim, the purpose that the Sandarbhas are leading to in presenting Bhagavatam is not just a running commentary. Therefore, it's not a verse-by-verse commentary, as most commentaries on the Bhagavatam are. These Sandarbhas have a more systematic purpose, a particular aim, and that's to reveal this rasa, to reveal the real spiritual life of intimate dealings with Krishna in his eternal pastimes. That's the whole purpose of the Sandarbhas. We should bear this in mind as we follow the complex philosophical discussions. The book is presented in such a way that those who are still on the vicharatmaka level can follow and become interested. But it's meant to aim them to the rasatmaka level. It's the whole driving dynamic of the Sandarbhas, aiming at that direction. And we have six books. They each deal in sequence with a major topic. The first four Sandarbhas are using the same outline of presentation that the Vedanta does. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. Sambandha, of course, is in the Vedanta understood to mean the relationship. Sambandha means connection or relationship. Meaning the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his various energies, including the jiva. We're an energy, but we're a particular energy. We are the jivas. So we're of particular interest. We're particularly interested in what's our relationship with God. It's of interest and of use to know what's the relationship of his other energies with him. But we want to know what's our relationship with him. That is learned theoretically on the level of Sambandha understanding. The Vedanta Sutra does teach in the same way. Sambandha and then abhideya. When you know theoretically your relationship with the Supreme, then you want to know how, practically, to begin reinstating yourself in that relationship. What is the practice? What are the things to do to revive your relationship with the Supreme Lord? That is called abhideya. Abhideya literally means, it's a potential participle, which is to be, abhida literally is to enunciate or to express, to state. To name something is abhida, give it a name. Abhideya is what is to be discussed or what is to be named. But it has this technical meaning of what should be done. It may come from mimamsa, from karma mimamsa. You know, what itikritya, or what particular things need to be done to accomplish a purpose. That is abhideya. Purpose is already defined. We have our relationship with God, we've forgotten it, we have to revive it. Abhideya is the things you should do to accomplish that, to revive your relationship with God. And then, what does your spiritual relationship with God actually involve? When you have perfected your practice, what do you achieve? And that's called prayojana. So the Sandarbhas also follow this pattern of sambandha abhideya prayojana. Want to make a comment? Push back my sika? Okay. But Jiva Goswami adds a twist to it. There's another use of the word sambandha that's different. There's a tradition that when a Sanskrit scholar writes a book in any subject, he should, a textbook, not poetry, literature, but a textbook on some analytic subject, before, in the beginning, he has to justify by satisfying four prerequisites called the Anubandha Chatushtaya. And they're called, if I can remember, Adhikari, the Prayojana. I guess the first one is Udesha, the topic. Udesha, Prayojana, Adhikari, and then Sambandha. So first of all, you have to have a properly defined topic. Nobody wants to read a book that isn't about anything in particular. So you have to have a defined topic and you have to express what it is in order to collect your audience and convince them to read the book. Announce what your topic is and have a well-defined topic, an interesting, useful topic. That's called Udeshya. And then Adhikari, who is the appropriate audience for this book? Who's fit to read it? And who can make use of it? That's the Adhikari. Third, Prayojana. What purpose will be served by studying this book? What will you learn and what can you do with it? That's Prayojana. And then Sambandha. So Prayojana is also there in the Vedanta outline. the outline of the subject matters of Vedanta in this list of four prerequisites for any textbook, Prayojana also shows up, and so does Sambandha. But Sambandha has a different meaning. Because you may not be talking about God, or God with the relationship with his energies, or anything that has anything relationship with anything. The subject could be, your topic could be anything. So Sambandha is used in a different meaning. The relationship between your book and your subject. The relationship of words describing what they're supposed to refer to. Words referring to some thing in the real world is a relationship called vachaka vachakata. Vachya vachaka vachaka tvam. The relationship of what needs to be expressed, the vachya, and what expresses it, the vachaka. The words that explain something that needs to be explained are called the vachaka. So when you're writing a book, your book, you should prove that your book actually explains what it's supposed to. That it actually accomplishes. You can claim that my book is you know, to explain such and such topic. But your fourth prerequisite is to show that there is a connection between what you say in your book and what it's trying to explain. That it actually does efficiently explain it. So that's the other meaning of Sambandha. The relationship between a book and what it's supposed to explain. That there is a connection. I can announce in the book that this is, you know, how to win friends and influence people, but if the book doesn't help you with any information about that, then you failed. The Sambandha is not there. I've announced it on the title page, but I haven't actually delivered. So that's Sambandha prerequisite. Jiva Goswami uses his Sambandha in that sense. And he says that the first four sandarbhas are on the topic of Sambandha. The connection between the book and what the book is discussing. So what's the book? Not the sandarbhas. The sandarbhas are a commentary on what? Bhagavatam. So the connection between the Bhagavatam and its subject matter, which is, well, Krishna, ultimately. Krishna and his devotional service. So the connection between the Bhagavatam and realization of Krishna, how the Bhagavatam will help you realize Krishna, that's the Sambandha. And that's what is the purpose of the first four sandarbhas, which that's a large volume of material in just four sandarbhas. The Tattva Sandarbha, you can print it on less than 30 pages, just the straight text with no commentary. It's only 1/50th of the entire volume of the six sandarbhas. So if you take the first, and the second sandarbha is pretty long, third sandarbha is a little shorter, fourth sandarbha is medium size. The fifth sandarbha, Bhakti sandarbha, is huge. So the second biggest one, I think, is the Bhagavat sandarbha, the second one. And the third biggest is the fourth one. So the first four sandarbhas, put them together, that's a lot of material. You know, for someone to follow Jiva Goswami's course of instruction, just on the topic of Sambandha, just on the topic of how the Bhagavatam reveals Krishna, he's going to have to put a lot of effort and a lot of time into studying all this material. It's not for casual readers. And for those who aren't ready to delve deep into philosophical discussions. Even among our ISKCON devotees, we're not going to have a big audience, I'm sure. When we publish this book, it's not going to be as popular as the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Okay. I'm not so sick today, but I don't have much energy. So I'm going to stop, and tomorrow we'll actually start with the Tattva Sandarbha. But we can discuss. Anybody have anything? Yes. Yes, please.
Are we allowed to ask questions along the way in this course, or do we wait?
Well, let's see. Let's try it. Let's let it. We'll allow for that in the beginning. But let's see if that disrupts it too much. If it does, we'll relegate the questions to the end.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what are the four sandarbhas that deal with the sambandha, and which
what
ones?
Are they?
Yeah,
tattva sandarbha. Okay, I can define them. I can explain basically what each one's about. Tattva sandarbha has two halves. First half is to establish that Bhagavatam is the most important source of knowledge about the Supreme Truth. For us, in this age particularly, the prime importance of the Bhagavatam as a source of information, of revelation. And the second half of the Bhagavatam begins to discuss how, a second part of the Tattva Sandarbha begins to show how the Bhagavatam reveals the Absolute Truth in very general, basic terms. Just a quick survey of how the Absolute Truth is defined in the Bhagavatam. That's why it's called Tattva Sandarbha. Just the truth. Nothing particular, not even given a name. Just general, simple indication of how the Bhagavatam reveals the Absolute Truth. Short. It's just 10 pages of that part, of the second part of the Sandarbha. Then the other Sandarbhas get into much more detail. We start in the first Sandarbha with just a very, very general idea of the Absolute Truth as presented by the Bhagavatam. First half of the Sandarbha established the Bhagavatam as our authority. Then the rest of the Sandarbhas from that point on mainly draw on the Bhagavatam itself for its information. Verses are picked out from the Bhagavatam and discussed. Sometimes you very often using Sridhar Swami's commentary. Sometimes he's presenting his own commentary or from other sources. From other shastras also, quotes are taken. But the basic pattern is a verse of the Bhagavatam and discussion of it. It's called a Sandarbha. Why? Anybody know? There are other books called Sandarbhas. It's a genre. What does it mean? Well, yes, but what the word actually means what? Yeah, like making a garland. You pick up a bunch of flowers from different places and tie them together. These red and white flowers came from different trees, but we put them together on one string. They come from all different places. Maybe some of them came from Brazil and some of them from some other country. So when you pick material from all different places and tie it all together into a coherent presentation, that's called Sandarbha. And Jiva Goswami is doing that. He's picking out verses from anywhere and everywhere in the Bhagavatam as it suits his topical purpose and ties them together into a very systematic presentation. So therefore it's called Sandarbha. Verses from all over the Bhagavatam, taken wherever he needs them from, and tied together into a very systematic presentation. There's a system of six separate Sandarbhas, progressively more and more elevated topics, and then within each Sandarbha there's a system also. There's a systematic presentation within each Sandarbha. So the second Sandarbha, the Bhagavat Sandarbha, deals with the concept of the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Everything you need to know about Bhagavan. Without dealing with specific incarnations, Krishna or anybody else, just what is the idea of God? It's a big idea, and the book is 4.5 times bigger than the Tattva Sandarbha, just explaining everything you need to know about the idea of God, Bhagavan. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, third Sandarbha goes to another level. Not just God as an idea, but God in relationship with his energies. Not just him by himself, but he really shows himself when he's showing his relationships and the dynamics of his relationships with his various energies, among which are the jivas. So that's called the Paramatma Sandarbha, because Jiva Goswami's definition of Paramatma is Bhagavan in relationship with his different energies. Then the fourth is the Krishna Sandarbha, showing how the Bhagavatam presents And it proves that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom all the other forms of God expand. And then, who is this Krishna? What's so special about him? That's all presented in the Krishna Sandarbha. Because this is what we learned from the Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami has put it into a systematic presentation. That's the four Sandarbhas that teach us how the Bhagavatam reveals Krishna. The fifth Sandarbha and the sixth Sandarbha deal with the devotional service practice on two levels. The level of sadhana bhakti, which fits in the category of abhideya, and then prema bhakti, which is in the category of prayojana. These are the bhakti sandarbha and the priti sandarbha. Bhakti sandarbha is the biggest by far of all the sandarbhas, but it's not so hard to follow because it's not difficult philosophy. We'll be going through these sandarbhas one after another. I don't know how long it will take. I can't guarantee. And if you miss the beginning, you'll have to just come back for the, you know, for when we start all over again. Yes, I don't know when. He had his hand first. Yeah. Vishnu Kantapur.
So is it like there's a progression from one sandarbha to another sandarbha? And so devotees, when they are going to study, they have to study from the, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 onwards. Is it like that?
Well, we should study in sequence because it's a programmed course of instruction. It's sequential, so it makes much more sense to follow it one step at a time. Some like to jump over second and third sandarbha, too difficult. They usually jump to the bhakti sandarbha. I think Kushikrata did that in his publishing, and so did Sachin Ryan. They did the Tapas Sandarbha and then the Bhakti Sandarbha, both of them. But it is recommended to go through them. I mean, the author intended, he presented them in this sequence, and he intended the readers to follow that sequence.
So what will happen if, October, different batch of students will be coming every year, so they will be just entering into the middle of the Sandarbha class? So,
well, hopefully, by that time, the Tapas Sandarbha will be published, and they can read the book, and then the other Sandarbhas will come out one after another. So then, you know, those who missed the class because they came too late, they can read the book. Anyway, if you're initiated in the worship of Radha and Krishna, it's not gonna kill you or send you to hell to hear something about the worship of Radha and Krishna. Yes.
Wrote so many verses, and later Jiva Goswami has, I think, compiled them together into Stavamala. I think that's how it's described in Bhakti Ratnakara. Then we know
Stavamala.
Yeah.
Jiva Goswami
put them together in one compilation.
Oh, he means Jiva Goswami compiled the Stavamala.
Compiled, yeah.
Okay.
Rupa Goswami wrote.
Yes.
Jiva Goswami compiled. So,
yes.
So it's there. Now, with Sandarbhas, we know that they're compiled, the material gathered by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Jiva Goswami in Mangalacharana, to each Sandarbha, he offers his obeisances. So,
well, yes.
We ascribe Sandarbhas primarily to Jiva Goswami,
yes.
Not to Gopal Bhatta.
Yes.
We
also ascribe the... Prabhupada usually ascribes the Hari Bhakti Vilas to Sanatana Goswami, not to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So what was the role of Gopal Bhatta Goswami actually? How much of it did he write? Because in other cases, Jiva Goswami was simply editing Rupa Goswami's and Sanatana Goswami's books. They assigned him to be the editor of books that were already written. We also have the questions about the Harinam Vikarna, who wrote the first original version. What was the original version, and was it revised? And so I don't think we can answer that definitely. How much of it is just Jiva Goswami's and how much of it is really Gopal Bhatta's? Because there's different opinions. Jiva Goswami is giving credit to Gopal Bhatta. Is he just being humble in shifting a lot of the credit away from himself? And then the Radha Raman Goswami's claim that Gopal Bhatta wrote the whole book. So the actual, what actually happened is somewhere in between, probably. But it's hard to pinpoint. What was Gopal Bhatta? We don't have the early drafts written by Gopal Bhatta. We don't have them. I think we do have some version of Hari Bhakti Vilas from Gopal Bhatta. Prabhupada talks about that. I never saw the book. But what was it in particular? What actually did Gopal Bhatta contribute? Was it just some outline or brief notes, or was it pretty much a book that needed to be put into order? I can't say.
So somewhere along the history, was established that Jiva Goswami is the author of Sandarbhas on them.
I don't think there's... Except for some of the, family line of Gopal Bhatta, I think it's a consensus opinion that it's Jiva Goswami's book. I don't think there's that much debate about it. There are other books where there really is not a settled opinion about who wrote it. But I don't think there's that much doubt that this is Jiva Goswami's book. Okay.
Yes.
So we have this edition of Satyanarayana's by edition of Tathasandarbha by Satyanarayana Prabhu and so on. It was already published and we have some material. So is there many corrections of this version? Is there many corrections of this version of BBT of this book which was already published by Satyanarayana, new version which you did for BBT? And can we use this old version in some extent?
The history of that is peculiar because actually Satyanarayana Prabhu was working for the BBT when he wrote it. He was commissioned by the BBT, and Dravida Prabhu and I were the editors. We did a year and a half of rewriting of that book because the English was a little rough. So it was edited by the BBT. It was going to be published by the BBT. So it was approved. Satyanarayana's edition of the... What he published, I haven't checked it that carefully. I don't think he changed anything. Changed anything from what the BBT manuscript was. So it's basically, it's actually a BBT book. You can read it. Why am I doing it again? I don't know. The trustees asked me to do it.
Any corrections of this book you did after?
Well, we did a lot of correcting, a lot of arguing with him about certain points while it was still being edited. Like, he wanted to say things about the fall of the Jivas and about the authority of Sridhar Swami. And we just were insistent, to make some modifications. You'd have to check the printed book whether he changed them back again. I don't know. He did agree to make some modifications before he quit. But then he published it after he quit. I don't know if he changed it back. Anyway, so there may be some risk that he undid some of our editing. Yes.
The purpose of Sandarbhas is to Jiva Goswami attracts the Vicharatmika Bhaktas by giving some taste for philosophical discussions and then trying to elevate them to the Rasatmika platform.
It's on different levels. It serves the purposes of devotees on all different levels. And maybe I didn't make that clear. I meant to say that. It's not just for neophytes or people who are interested in dry philosophy. It's also for them. It's also for the Rasika Bhaktas, the advanced devotees. Just like the Bhagavatam is also. Just like this Brihad Bhagavatamrita is. It's for beginning devotees and also very advanced devotees. It suits them both.
So he expects, is it that he is expecting that other Sampradaya devotees and other Vaishnavas, they have to elevate to this level of coming to the understanding, the intimate dealings of Krishna and devotees? Is it like
well,
that?
Yes, that is our, we don't want to disturb everybody, but that is our opinion. says they really want to make their life really perfect, they should graduate to worshiping Radha Krishna in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes. So that was part of his agenda, yes, to make it accessible also to devotees and other sampradayas. Present it in such a way that it wouldn't immediately exclude everybody who's not a member, a card-carrying member of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Same way Hari Bhakti Vilas was an attempt to make a smriti for all the Vaishnavas.
Someone might say, like, this idea is too sectarian in the sense that you're trying to focus only on one Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, whereas some people might claim like that.
Jivaswami, I don't think Jivaswami is not pushing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering respect at the very beginning in the Mangalacharana. After that, he's not pushing, in particular, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line. His first source of explanation is Sridhar Swami, who's a predecessor before Lord Chaitanya. So it's a generally, Vaishnavas in general should be, of course, there are some Vaishnavas who don't like Sridhar Swami. He does say in the beginning, he does explain, say very emphatically who the Adhikari is. Yasya Krishna Padab, what is the words? Anyway, only the person who has very serious devotion for the lotus feet of Krishna should read this book. Everybody else, I curse them. So he doesn't say only the Gaudiya Vaishnava should read this book, but he says only those who want to be Krishna's devotees and serve him, they should read this book and others shouldn't. So it's a little exclusive, but it's not only our sampradaya, only the followers of Lord Chaitanya. It's the followers of Krishna who should be interested in and get themselves involved with the Sandarbhas. Same thing, it's the same audience as the Bhagavatam's audience. If you're not interested in Krishna, I don't think you'll be very interested in the Bhagavatam. If you don't want to hear about Krishna, then don't read the Bhagavatam. So the Sandarbhas has the same audience.
The Sava Sambhadini, how are you dealing with it? Are you having it like a separate appendix at the end, or are you mixing it in?
At the end of each book.
Oh, okay.
In the end of each of the Sandarbhas. I don't know, I didn't even think about what to do when a Sandarbha takes more than one volume. Maybe we'll split the Sava Sambhadini up into each volume to match it up with the part that it discusses. Yeah, that's what we've done. We put it in the book, but at the back.
And, about Jiva Goswami, you're mentioning that he specifies the Adhikari, but then he also kind of curses people. Is that usual thing that
that's
people...
heavy? That's a little peculiar to to cast a curse. You might want to translate it differently, but the word is shapata.
Okay.
It's it's an imprecation, a curse generally. It could mean a vow, but it doesn't make sense as a vow there. What is he vowing?
Yeah.
He's vowing go to hell. That's what he's vowing.
What does he curse him to happen?
He doesn't.
He just says,
I give you my curse. He doesn't specify it. That's discussed a little bit by Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his commentary. Especially he discusses why do that. Why is he doing that? And it's mainly to protect them from offenses they may commit. By sticking their nose, faithless people sticking their nose in the book, they'll end up committing offenses. So better to scare them away. So I think it's a scare tactic to keep people from getting themselves in trouble. I'm sorry, you had that.
Do we have any commentaries on Sandarbha which we can use?
There's a commentary on the first Sandarbha by Baladeva Vidyabhushan.
Tattva Sandarbha.
Yeah. There's a commentary by somebody else, Radha Mohan Goswami, on the Tattva Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami wrote an appendix, Sarva Sambhadini, on the first four Sandarbhas. But it's not a thorough commentary. It just discusses in detail certain points that have to be gone into in further depth. What he's done, he's segregated the really tough material that the most of the audience can't handle, and put it into a separate book. The same way that Jiva Goswami, that Rupa Goswami didn't discuss Madhurya Rasa in complete detail in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but he wrote a separate book for that. So there's a separate book that deals with the really nutty, tough things, dealing with the very difficult philosophical analysis. That's in the Sarasambhadami. That everybody doesn't have to read. If it's too much for you, you can skip it. And that's it. There are no commentaries per se on the other five sandarbhas. BBT doesn't like to publish anything without commentary, so we're trying to throw something together. But there's nothing to go by. We have to just write from scratch. Yes.
Look on Sarvasamvadini.
Yes. We'll. I don't know how we'll handle it. Whether we'll stop whenever we get to something that's covered in the Sarvasamvadini and shift to the Sarvasamvadini. That might be too much of a distraction. We'll see how we handle it. But we'll cover it either at one point or another. Because when at the very beginning there's discussion of different means of knowing, pramanas, and then especially about Shabda Praman. So there the Sarvasambhadini goes at great length to establish pramanas and to establish Shabda Praman. So I don't know if we want to stop at that point, you know, get diverted into a very complicated discussion at that point. We'll see. We may postpone it. Yes?
Why didn't Bharadeva Devotion try commentary for other five sandarbhas?
I don't know. They're lost? He wrote, but they're gone. Because everyone was goofing off and not studying the sandarbhas, so those commentaries got lost. You know, it's tough work to study sandarbhas. A lot of devotees avoid the hard work and don't study them. So therefore, sandarbhas were neglected, the commentaries were lost. Okay, we'll stop for now, and tomorrow we'll start the Tattva Sandarbha. Thank you. All glories to Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada.